So, hi, this is Imani and Amara. We're back with our second podcast on chapters 3-6. So, in chapter 3, what we got from the chapter was... is all about manipulation and stuff.
And, like, how businesses and, like, corps, like, they use manipulation. They'll take, like, only a small amount of number to show the percent, and this percent will be very large since they only took a small amount of, like, questionnaires. So it kind of shows the goal, like, back to what we said in our first podcast, and just, like, just a general thing that we were looking at in stats is about just bad surveying in general.
But, so,
yeah, go ahead.
So it's, like, one of the examples was about toothpaste. So, like, you only survey, like, a couple... Wait, was it toothpaste or was it doctors?
No, it was about dentists, and the toothpaste had to do it.
Okay, so you only survey only a couple of people, say, like, 20 people. So, like, of course your percentage will become... will be higher if you were to... of course, it will become higher.
It's poor representation of, like, the dentist and, like, just in general. Because if you only use, like, it doesn't show the whole thing. It only shows a small part of the whole, if you understand. Because, listen, if you only survey 10 dentists, that doesn't represent all of the dentists. Therefore, it's not a whole. So, the percentage that you're getting out of it is, like, it doesn't make sense. Or, like, but it's still... it's still right because of the amount of dentists that they survey, but it's not right to really show the whole entire, like, what's the right word? The whole entire, I don't know what to say. I can't find the right word, but the whole entire look, I guess I would say. Yeah.
All right, so now we're moving on to chapter 4, which...
Chapter 4.
It titles Much Ado About Practically Nothing. So it starts off talking about Peter and Linda and how Peter IQ is 98 and Linda's is 101. So, you know, like, she has a higher IQ than him. But then it goes into more detail about, like, how people would think that Linda, based off Linda IQ, her future would be brighter than Pete's. So, like, but then it goes to say how testing intelligence is not so much of a thing, like, it's going to be incorrect and it's not going to be accurate because you can't necessarily test intelligence. It's a lot of factors that go into that besides, like, just when we take SAT, like, or the Keystone, like, I feel like those tests are unnecessary. It's not really testing whether or not...
what you really know. It's all memorization.
And that's just, like, GPAs, too. Like, just because you got a good grade in a class doesn't mean that you actually learned something. It just means that you turned in your work and you got a good grade on it.
And I think that this, like this is, like, I don't, like, the chapters from what we already talked about, this is the most, like, the chapter that we can relate to as teenagers. And it's just, like, seeing our grades sometimes, they're not always, like, you know, they don't really prove how much we really know or, like, all of our effort that we put into school. And we talk about things like that, like, all of the time. Especially, like, what Monty said when it comes to, like, SATs and ACTs. You never really know, like, the, like, you can't really test anybody's intelligence. Like, everybody has different strong points and different things. Like, Monty might be drawing. That's where her thing is. And I might be, like, a math whiz, which I'm not. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know how to draw. So, yeah. And then, like, I feel like it's also dependent on your teachers, too. I feel like some teachers favor more... I feel like teachers have favoritism. Like, if they like you, then they might bump your grade up a little bit, and then you'll just go up a whole letter grade.
Yeah.
And they don't, and they think you annoying, you just don't get work done, then they might fail you on purpose. I know a couple teachers like that did something like that. Not to me, though, but.
Yeah. Well, that's chapter 4.
All right, so now we're moving on to chapter 5, which titles the G-Wiz graph. So, the overall summary of this chapter is just about the manipulation of graphs. So, like, how, like, they can move things around, like cutting a graph in half and taking out certain parts, or, like, changing the names and stuff to make the graph represent something that it don't really represent, or to make it... like, in their favor and stuff like that. So,
but it would still be technically called, right? That's why now I get why the book is called Lying with Statistics. You would think that, like, some of the things that they do, like, would, like, change the whole, like, equation, or it would change the whole, like, what the graph is trying to show, but it doesn't. It's just leaving some things out, or, like, just making it work in your benefit. Like, with the scales, when it comes to scales, like, you can either make the scale larger or smaller, either on the X or Y axis, and changing the names on the axes to make it what you want, like, to make it, like, work for you. Like, in class, when we started to see, like, different correlations and stronger correlation and weaker correlation, like, you can't really see, like, correlations from off a graph, because if you change the scale, it would look like the correlation is weaker than what it really is. Like, at the bottom, or, like, on time, or, yeah.
And, like, I remember when Mr. Miles first introduced this to us, of, like, manipulation of graphs, he had two scatter plots on top of each other. And, like, just looking at it, you would think that they were different scatter plots. But when it actually came down to it, they were the exact same. It was just that the scale was much bigger mm-hmm. on the second scatter plot. So, like, the data sets were more scattered. So, like, he was like, which one is stronger? And everybody said the first one, because it was much more, all the data points yeah. were together than more than the second one.
So, this one is chapter 6, and it's the one-dimensional picture. And
the first paragraph or two, I was, like, a little confused because it was talking about, like, a picture man and stuff like that. But then, like, I noticed, but then, like, I started making connections, like, when I watch TV and commercials and stuff, and how, like, they would have graphs and stuff. And then, like, you know how they would have, for most of them will have money bags, like, as their picture.
And catch your attention.
Yeah, then the money bag will be bigger than the other. It'll be more money bags on one side than it is the other, just to represent how much more money that they have. But it really don't be like that. And I noticed in this book, like, in one of the previous chapters, I think it was chapter 4, they also had pictures to show a graph of, like, the product, the company owners, and then how they were paying their employees, stuff like that. They also showed pictures in that graph, and we was following that graph to, like, kind of understand what they were saying, but what if that graph was lying to us?
Right. But the one-dimensional picture, it kind of speaks for itself when it talks about the chapter. So only seeing one side of it, you don't see, like 3D, you know, three-dimensional. You don't see every single side of, like, what it's telling you. So that has to do with pictures and graphs just in general. So you only see one side, and that's the side that they're trying to sell to you, not the, like, every single side. Just like earlier in the book, we talked about how, like, you see different like, basically, how you, like, there's a different size to everything. So we let you know what you want to know, but, like, it's still working in our benefit, if you get what I'm saying.
That's basically what this whole book is about.
Yeah. So, go ahead. See what you guys
want. Well, I was just bringing up, like, towards the end of the chapter, I feel like this book is, like, kind of teaching you how to lie mm-hmm. in stats class. Not just stats class, but
statistics. In general.
In general. And it was saying, like, if you're going to lie about it, at least be smart. And then, like, I noticed that a lot of companies, like, back to the commercials, a lot of companies actually use pictures to represent what they need to represent. And then, like, you can tell that they're, you know, it's not really honest, or, like, it's not really, what you see in a chart is not really how it is. So then I feel like if you use it too much, then people are just going to think that you're lying all the time. So that's what this book brought up in this chapter. How, like, you gotta lie right and then not overuse it.
And they also say how, like, it's easy to hide the most it's easy to hide the most, like, statistical things, and, like, when you don't include any other information with it. So if you just have a picture, or you just have, like, a graph, and you don't have any information with it, it's hard to, like, it's really easy to, like, fool people, because people would just be looking at the picture and not really looking at the information that comes with the picture. They talk about that in the chapter 2.
So like Amira was saying before, a picture is a successful liar. So like they only show you one side of it. Also, just like when people post pictures on Instagram.
Wow.
It's like not a picture. It's like the saying, like a picture is worth 1,000 words. But I mean, it's only so much you can get from it if you don't really understand what they're trying to represent. Well, what the picture, like what the overall thing is represented. I don't know if represented